Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We're going to do our part number 7 on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this probably will be our final podcast on this series. And, of course, before we get into it, as my custom usually always is, I'd like to introduce my wonderful and beautiful and awesome and great woman of God, my wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone. Praise God. We bless you. Our hearts are always filled with joy when we have the opportunity to record. And it is so good to know that it's not by our just desire, but by the inspiration and leading of the Holy Spirit. So praise God. We have great expectation. We have learned so much so far, and we want to encourage the listeners to please make sure you listen to the prior podcast, the prior programs, and you're definitely going to be enriched. So praise God for what He has done and continues to do.
Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. And as we have as our base scripture from Acts chapter 2, we're going to turn there and quickly read that again. Because, you know, sometimes there are people who start out listening to podcasts and they don't catch all those earlier parts, and they come in late in the game. So, you know, we do suggest that they go back and listen to all those, because they're very important to the progress of what we're teaching and talking about. But it says here, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and I'm talking about Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the key in it, in all this, is this, is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit will empower a believer with supernatural ability that they did not have prior. Even if they had received the born-again experience, having received the Holy Spirit as what we call the presence of the Holy Spirit. There is a difference between the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings the power. And so, as we also discussed in previous podcasts, we talked about the 5 examples mentioned in the book of Acts on how people had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We were talking about Acts chapter 2, which we just read here, the day of Pentecost, which was the first one where they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then there's Acts chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, and then chapter 19. And in those chapters, I said that chapter 2 and chapter 10 were very similar, because the Holy Spirit fell upon those in the upper room on the day of Pentecost as a sovereign act of God, with no one there to lay hands on them for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know prior to that, 50 days prior on, you know, Passover, when Jesus had rose again after, you know, dying and raising from the dead and being the last Passover lamb, He breathed on him to receive the Holy Spirit. But then He told him, you know, 40 days later, before He ascended back up to heaven for good, He said to wait in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high, for you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so we know 10 more days elapsed, which ended up being 50 days, Pentecost, 50 days after, you know, after Passover, Pentecost. And as we said before, too, that Pentecost means it's two words in one. Pentecost. Penti means count. No, cost 50. Means count, and penti means 50.
Right.
So count 50, 50 days from Passover.
Nice.
And so that's when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But see, Jesus already rose again and had ascended back to heaven that last day after 40 days of showing Himself alive, as the writer of Acts said, which is Luke, said, by many infallible proofs, you know, He demonstrated Himself alive and that He had rose from the dead. So when He left, He said, they would receive power not many days from now. Well, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. No one there to lay hands on him. Same thing with Cornelius' household, in a sense, because Peter was called, and through a vision that he had and Ananias had, they met up at Cornelius' household. I'm getting mixed up with two different stories here, as I've done before. But anyway, Peter goes to Cornelius' household, and he relates to them what the message of Christ was, because Cornelius had a vision and said, you know, send for Peter to come and speak to you. The word, he has the words of salvation. And so he comes and speaks to him about Jesus. And it says here in Acts chapter 10, we'll turn there real quick. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Says, while Peter was still speaking these words, you know, about Jesus being the salvation, that God raised him up and, you know, ordained him to be the, by God to be judge of the living and the dead, and through his name, you know, remission of sins for those who would, you know, would receive him. If he says here in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those, all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who heard, who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because he brought a company of believers with him when he came to Cornelius' household. It says that they were astonished. Why? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered and said, can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So we see another sovereign act of God baptizing them in the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit fell upon them with nobody laying hands on them. So we have, like I said, there's five examples of the baptism of the Holy Spirit being given in the book of Acts. And two of them was Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, where God sovereignly just felt the Holy Spirit fell upon them while they were waiting or they were listening, right? But the other three examples, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, and Acts chapter 19, came through the laying on of hands.
Awesome.
And Acts chapter 8 talks about how Philip had went down to Samaria to preach Christ to them, and they all received because there was miracles and healings. The lame was being healed. The paralyzed was being healed. But it said that the Holy Spirit hadn't fell upon any of them yet. Well, let's look at that real quick, because I'm going to go briefly through these again to reiterate, and then I'm going to get to talking about the difference between these two. Acts chapter 8, it says in verse 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And it says, when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands of the apostles, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not going to go into any further. We talked about this already.
That's right.
But what we're talking about here is the Holy Spirit was administered to them through the laying on of hands. And then you go over to Acts chapter 9, Paul's example, when Saul, who became Paul, or was known as Paul, it says here, after the vision that they both had, it says in verse 17, it said, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he rose and was baptized. Now notice here, even as a side note, which is, you know, really important too, but in terms of what we're talking about, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, notice how they in Cornelius' household, Peter said, should they not be, be baptized as well? So in water. So they were baptized in water afterwards. And you see the same thing here. You know, it says here, when Ananias laid hands on Paul, he said that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Amen. That was after the Holy Spirit came on him.
That's a good point.
So he was already baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now he's just following through with the what we say is the act or the ritual of the baptism, mm-hmm. the water baptism. And I do believe it's important that people following that, because it is something that God had instituted that we should follow. But at the same time, does that mean if you didn't receive that, you can't receive the Holy Spirit? Well, they already had received the Holy Spirit, right? And the same way with on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Well, I imagine all those disciples, Jesus' original apostles were already baptized, because John the Baptist was baptizing people.
That's
and
right.
They came along. And then and Jesus was baptized, right? And we know in Luke chapter 3 where it talks about how the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, why he was being baptized in the River Jordan by John, right? So, and then Jesus had his disciples baptizing people. It mentions somewhere in the Gospels. So I don't know where that is, but it talks about that. So anyway, moving on. So this is the second case. We had Acts chapter 8, where Peter and John came down and laid hands on those believers that Philip had preached to and on to Christ. They had accepted Jesus, but the Holy Spirit had not fell upon any of them yet. And they laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 9, Ananias was sent. Somebody says, well, why didn't it have to be that way? Why did he have to lay hands on people? Because couldn't Jesus do it himself? Well, one, Jesus wasn't here, except that he appeared to Paul in a vision. Because it said the light shone around them, and they heard the voice, but seeing no one. Right? Talking about the people that were with Paul on the road to Damascus. So he was blinded, and yet he was told, had heard the voice of the Lord, but those others heard him. You know, go to the city and it will be told you what you must do. Well, God chose to. The Lord Jesus chose to choose Ananias for that purpose.
Yes, he did.
You know, so he told Ananias, go lay hands on him so that he can receive his sight and he can be filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's what he said he came for, right? And so that's how he did it. Then you go to Acts chapter 19. Now, of course, we've talked about this, but this is reiterating these things so that we can get to talking about the difference between the two. And it says in Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through, Paul being formerly Saul, known as Saul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not heard so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Interestingly. But then the next verse says, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they prophesied. They spoke with tongues, and they prophesied.
Amen.
So notice the difference here. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on him, so prior to him laying hands on him, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that was it. But when he laid hands on him, the Holy Spirit came upon them.
Amen.
And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And I said also previously in the previous podcast that the initial sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in these cases was the speaking in tongues and prophesying. Mm-hmm. We see that in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. We see that with Cornelius' household, because Peter and them and his company was astonished at what they saw. the Holy Spirit being poured out and them speaking with tongues. And that was the evidence to them they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then here in Acts chapter 19, and some might say, well, see, those other two cases don't talk about it. Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9. Well, but again, remember when Peter and John came down to Samaria to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit, because he hadn't fallen on any of them yet. It said that when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered money. So give me this gift also so I can do what you just did. So he saw something. And I would safely assume that he saw what happened in Acts chapter 2, what happened in Acts chapter 10, and what happened in Acts chapter 19.
Speaking tongues.
Right. And then, of course, you say, well, then the other example is Acts chapter 9, Paul. It didn't say he spoke with tongues, right? Because it says that when Ananias laid hands on him for him to receive the Holy Spirit and to receive his sight, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he was able to see, and he rose, and he was baptized. But yet Paul says later on in Acts chapter 4, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. So there's another evidence that with him receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he had the ability to speak in tongues. So I would say it's pretty safe to say out of those four cases that we know they had tongues with them, that Acts chapter 8 is most likely the same situation when Simon saw through the laying on of hands that the Holy Spirit was given. He saw the same signs that they saw. And some people say today, I've had people argue with me about this. Well, you know, it isn't the baptism of the Holy Spirit has many different kinds of signs that can come with it. But yet, when we read these five examples, basically it's the same ones. Tongues and prophesying as the initial sign. And of course, the gifts of the Spirit, because what happened is that something like scales fell from Paul's eyes, right? And he was able to receive his sight.
Yes.
So supernatural ability, and even with tongues, as we talked about before, is it's not simply speaking in a foreign language, it's the ability to do it supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because how in the world could I speak Mandarin Chinese unless I have learned it? And certainly, how would I be able to speak it fluently to someone who's listening and be speaking great things about God and prophesying?
Right.
If it's not the Holy Spirit. Someone said, well, it could be an evil spirit. Well, sure, certainly evil spirits, certain types of evil spirits might have the ability to speak with tongues. But yet, Jesus says, and I think it's Luke chapter 11, he talks about, you know, seeking after, you know, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give you. How much more will he not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, you know, how much more would a Heavenly Father not give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Plus, so, it's very unlikely also that an evil spirit would magnify and glorify God and speak about his greatness, his great works.
Well, for the most part, that's true.
Right.
But there are cases where sometimes they will do that a little bit just to bring deception.
Mm.
Because remember the girl with the spirit of divination in Acts chapter 16, right?
Right.
Said, these are the servants of the Most High God who are showing you the way of salvation.
That's true.
She spoke the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you know, if you'd probably hang around her long enough, you'd come to find out that spirit was start saying all kinds of other weird stuff.
Right.
And then probably even not even confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord and came in the flesh and died on the cross. But, you know, a little deception. A little truth to bring deception, you know. So, you know, having said that to say this, that, you know, we trust that when you seek God for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And I think I need to go to that, because there are people thinking, well, I'm afraid, you know, that I might get an evil spirit. How do we know that, you know, this is going to be what you're saying, that we're going to receive the Holy Spirit? Well, you see here in Luke, is it Luke 11 or is it Luke 13? Luke chapter 11. And this is about this little story that Jesus tells about somebody coming to him at midnight asking for loaves, you know. And he says here, I'll read the whole passage here, you know. And he says here, after he, you know, he's teaching his disciples how to pray, he says to you, he says to them in verse 5 of Luke chapter 11, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has come to me on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Amen.
I love this passage.
That's beautiful.
So some say, well, you know, I've had hands laid upon me for the Holy Spirit. Nothing's happened. Oh, I went to a prayer line or whatever. You know, I've been seeking God on this. And I thought maybe there was something to this. And I prayed and I asked God to give me the Holy Spirit. You know, this baptism you're talking about. And nothing's happened. So, you know, there really must not be nothing to this. Well, it's interestingly how Jesus uses this passage of praying and persisting, you know, in that parable about a friend coming to his friend, and he's not going to get up and give him anything because it's late at night and they're in bed. But it says because he continues to persist, he will give it to him. But then he says, how much more will your Heavenly Father
Amen. Give
to those who ask him of the Holy Spirit? So you can be sure that if you have given your life to the Lord, you've repented of your sin, you know, you've turned away, you know, from your walk of sin and your life of sin to follow the Lord and surrender to him his will for your life, he wants you to have the Holy Spirit, and he will give it to you. Just don't give up in seeking it. And I've said that to the people, some people who I've laid hands on to receive who didn't have any immediate manifestation, is continue to seek God.
Amen.
Continue to believe you receive. You know, after so much time might go by, if you say, well, nothing's happened, then maybe we need to go back to square one and ask God, what's going on here? Why haven't I received? Is there something blocking me? You know, some say, well, nothing will ever block you. Well, that's not true. Some sin can block you. It says that a husband's prayers can hinder because of the way he treats his wife. Right?
Very important.
And so there are things that can hinder a person, and they need to ask God, you know, about those things. Or maybe there's an instruction the Lord has given a person and they're just not willing to follow it. Or the last thing he's told them to do, they just clearly won't do it. So maybe he's not going to grant them this power until they do the last thing he told them to do. You know, so sometimes we need to, you know, take some inventory of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like in the Old Testament when they were, I don't remember what it was exactly. You might remember it as I'm talking about it, sweetheart. But that case when they were wanting to build, give offerings? I think it's in Malachi, you know, about robbing God, you know.
Yes, that's right.
And in another parable, talking about having holes in your bags.
Right,
you know,
right.
that you continue to put money in it, but it keeps falling through the bottom.
Right.
You know, a figure of speech about how God's not blessing you because you're not keeping his commandments. You're not obeying and serving him.
That's
so,
true.
You know, I can't recall where that is right now, but I don't want to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, there are sometimes people need to make some correction in their life before God's going to grant them the next step of what they want or what they need from God. So that being said, I want to differentiate between the two here also as well. We use those 5 examples. It's found in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, 9, 10, and Acts chapter 19. So 2 of them was through the sovereign act of the Holy Spirit falling upon them. And the other 3 was through the laying on of hands. Now, one may say, well, how do I know God's not going to do it this way? Do I need to have hands laid on me to receive, or kind of just pray and ask for it? Or will it just come sovereignly one day, like bam, like it just fell on Cornelius' household? Well, let me make let me differentiate first between these two type of examples, between the two and the three. The laying on of hands, the three cases of the laying on of hands, and the two that was sovereignly given. First and foremost, the one in Acts chapter 2 couldn't have happened through the laying on of hands because there was nobody to lay hands on them. It had the Holy Spirit except Jesus, right. And he was already in heaven.
True.
Right? So he sent the Holy Spirit, and he fell upon them, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Cornelius' household, it's a good chance that they weren't going to receive it because until Peter had the vision of the sheep coming down and the animals and being told to rise and kill and eat, you know, and he saw that, you know, through the vision that it was opening the door to the Gentiles, considering them being unclean, that they were, you know, he didn't see that they were, you know, potential candidates to be saved.
They were Gentiles.
Right. Yeah, so with that, God sovereignly poured out the Holy Spirit on him in order for him to see, to see that it was for them as well. Otherwise, he could have laid hands on them for them to receive.
Okay.
But by the vision that Cornelius had of the angel coming and Peter having, seeing the sheep come down and hearing the voice of the Lord speaking to him and meeting up with Cornelius, and he was preaching the way of salvation of Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. It says when they saw, you know, that God had given it to them, said, oh, wow, I guess it's for them too. So they were in a position to lay hands on the people because they weren't believing until they actually saw the Holy Spirit being poured out on them. So the other cases, Acts chapter 8, Peter and John came down and laid hands on him. Acts chapter 9, Ananias came and laid hands on Paul. In Acts chapter 19, Paul later on laid hands on 12 disciples, and they received. So you can receive through the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can receive the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, but it generally has to come from someone who's been equipped with that anointing, that power. Now, that's not to say that any Christian can't do it. I'm not going to say that's not, you know, that it's not impossible, but it's more likely it's going to come from someone God has called for that, because the fact is they know they're a carrier of the power. They know they have the ministry of laying on of hands. You know, generally most ministers know they can do that. Not all of them do. Not all of them have the faith for it, you know. And it's sad to say, but sometimes God has to especially call out somebody to say, hey, I'm giving you the ministry of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to impart that to people. And that actually is something he gave me, you know, through the laying on of hands. And it began to manifest many years ago through the laying on of hands for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, actually much more so than for healing.
Amen. Really? More than healing.
And so that's something you as a listener, if you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you can potentially seek out, you know, say, God, lead me to where you would have me to go, and where somebody believes in this and they teach this, a pastor of a church or what have you, that can lay hands on you for you to receive. Ask them, do they believe in it? And of course, if they don't, then most likely, you know, not much is going to happen. You know, because one is they have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit themselves.
Right.
You know, that's generally the rule, right? How do you give somebody something if you don't have it? And if you don't believe in it? Because you go to a pastor and say, no, we don't believe in any of that stuff anyway. So you're not going to get nothing from them if they don't believe it because they don't have it, right? But at the same time, we just read in Luke chapter 11 that God will give it to you if you seek it yourself. I know a brother, a minister, who had received it through the laying on of hands, but nothing manifested right away. As a matter of fact, for 30 days, he just continued to worship God, said, Lord, I thank you. I received it when hands were laid on me. I've got it. And one day, it just started come bubbling up out of the Spirit, and he began speaking in other tongues. So the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is for every believer. And if you believe in it, you want it, it's yours. And I will tell you to pursue it until you get it, and don't rest until you get it, because you need it. You need it for your own personal life enrichment, and for myself, I know from my own experience that the baptism of the Holy Spirit helped set me free, because I had visions after that I had received it, and I started getting delivered from some spirits that were affecting my soul. You know, they weren't in my spirit, but they were attached to my life. And through the visions that God gave me, revelations, I began to see those things go, and I cast some of them things out myself through the Holy Spirit's power. I saw them in a vision, bam, and commanded them to go and got set free. So there's many things that can come along with the baptism of the Holy Spirit that a person needs. But the point is this, you need all the tools that God has made available to you. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage you to seek it until you get it. And if you think you still need more teaching on this, and there's many resources available out there, you know, books on the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you can look into. I haven't written any as of yet, but there's books out there you can find that do teach on it. Now, of course, if you come across the books that preach against it, then you know what to do with those books. You know, so I'm going to end it here, and I think that's pretty much all we're going to say about this subject, unless the Lord so leads that we would continue on with another part, but I don't see this happening right now. So without further ado, I will turn it over to my sweetheart and let her, make the appeal for those who want to receive Jesus.
Yes, this has been so enriching, and we pray that every listener doesn't just listen to this, but that there has been a hunger that has been awakened, stirred up in your soul, in your spirit, so that you may also ask the Father, you may also ask the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit, this power, this baptism. As my husband said, once we accept the Lord as our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit, but now we're making the differentiation, the difference between having the Holy Spirit and having the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I have a lot of electronic devices, and all of them really have charging cords, but it doesn't do anything until I plug it into the wall. So once I have it plugged in, then there's power that comes in through that cord. And as Christians, you know, we have the Holy Spirit, we have this cord, but the Lord wants us to have the power. Now we also have to make the invitation to those people who don't even have the Holy Spirit to begin with. It's great, and it's very inviting for us to pursue the power, but the first step is actually having the Holy Spirit. And how do we have the Holy Spirit? That's as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And what does that mean? We give Jesus our sin. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. So we give him our sins since he paid for them. And then we receive his justice. And we are justified. We are reconciled with God. And that is amazing, because at that point, that is when we become children of God, adopted into the family of God, with access to everything that Jesus paid for when he died on the cross, including the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is an amazing thing. Please make sure that you make your decision today. This is not something that you can negotiate or you can play with. Eternity, as somebody said, is too long to get it wrong. So make sure you decide for Jesus and give him your heart today.
Amen, sweetheart. That was beautiful. And I want to add one more thing real quick here before we close. And that is what we had stated early on, was that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the foundation for the gifts of the Spirit to operate in a person's life as God wills those gifts to come into being. We talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a separate series prior to this.
Yes, we did.
Podcast series on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't listened to those, then I recommend you listen to those, because without the foundation of the baptism of the power, there's really not going to be the ability to walk in the gifts of the Spirit as well. So we're going to end this podcast here, and we thank everyone for listening, and yes, God bless you, and have a good night or good morning wherever you're at.
And blessings, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.